Morning, Praise Lands Church. It's been a great 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we had our children and our adults lead us in the Easter service. That was a great time of just soaking in God's presence. And then last week, follow up by the baptisms and the stories and people's changed lives was very, very, very encouraging. So I was very pleased that our church could come together to worship God like that. I'm also encouraged, too, that in these next 6 weeks, our church will be entering into a sermon series called Church Renewal. It'll be the first time in our church where the various congregations, the Cantonese, Mandarin, youth, as well as our English, will be preaching the same message every Sunday. You know, it's difficult to lead 800 people in the same direction, and we hope that this will be an attempt to allow people to see where we're heading and what God is doing in our church these next 6 weeks. As well, after this Sunday or after Mother's Day, we'll also have available, Pastor Josh tells me, a prayer ministry after each service. So we look forward to the Spirit of God continuing to work in our lives as He ministers to us, even after our service on Sundays as well. And so as we enter into the sermon series, I came across a book by Henry Nouwen entitled The Way of the Heart. And in that book, he writes this: "It seems that the darkness is thicker than ever. The powers of evil are more blatantly visible than ever. And that the children of God are being tested more severely than ever. During the last few years, I've been wondering what it means to be a minister in such a situation. What is required of men and women who want to bring light into darkness, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives and to the blind new sight, to set the downtrodden free, to proclaim the Lord's year of favor? What is required of a man or a woman who is called to enter fully into the turmoil and agony of the times and speak a word of hope? Many of us adapted ourselves too well to the general mood of lethargy. Others among us are tired, exhausted, disappointed, bitter, resentful, or simply bored. Still others have remained active and involved, but have ended up living more in their own name than in the name of Jesus. How can we expect to remain full of creative vitality, of zeal for the Word of God, of desire to serve, and of motivation to inspire our often numbed congregations? Where are we supposed to find nurture and strength? How can we alleviate our own spiritual hunger and thirst?" And so, Lord God, we come before you this morning. And for some of us, those are the exact words that we're going through. Those are the thoughts and our feelings that we're entering our lives as we live in this world. Speak to us, your people, we pray, with a word that will encourage us. Open our minds, our hearts, our wills, O Lord God, to what you have to say to us this morning. We thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you know, one of the focuses of our church in recent days has been to learn about the spiritual practices of church renewal. And by this, I mean personal renewal, relational renewal, and spiritual renewal. But how can a church be renewed? How can our church be renewed? Well, I love to tell you that it's a simple process. You do this, you do that, a 10-step plan, and in no time, our church will be renewed, refreshed, and revitalized. I wish it was that simple. But it's not that easy. Many have tried and have been disappointed because it's not about a plan. It's not just about a program. It's not about a method that will bring our churches into renewal. You see, church renewal is not about changing the external components, the exterior elements of our lives or of our church. It's not about slapping on a new coat of paint or having a proper kitchen finally in a couple of years' time, or building a gym. Our church will only change as we change, as I change, as we change. Our church will only be renewed spiritually as we are renewed, as I am renewed, as you are renewed, and as we all are renewed. It doesn't happen any other way. The Lord doesn't want it to happen any other way, as he's in the process of transforming each one of us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. See, church renewal takes place in the life of the pastor first, then it flows into his marriage, into his family, and into the church. So if God is going to renew our church, he will need to start with me. He'll need to start with our other pastors and their spouses, with our elders and their spouses, with our deacons and lay leaders. We need to start with each one of us. Each one of us will need to be renewed. That's the place where it's all going to start. See, church renewal starts with our own personal renewal. And we begin our journey of personal renewal by connecting with Jesus, by connecting with the true vine of life, so that his life flows into ours. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it would be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine," Jesus says. "You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So what are the effects of remaining, of being connected to the vine, of being connected to Jesus? Why should we be connected to Jesus anyways? First, so we can have fellowship with God. You see, God made us so that we can be in fellowship with him, so that we can be in his presence and relate to him. God did not just form us, place us in the universe that he created, just so that he can leave us and go about his own way. No, God created us in his own image so that he could be with us and we could have fellowship with him. But when that fellowship was broken through our sin, it separated us from God. It alienated us from his holy presence. But then Jesus came to die for our sins and took away the barrier and restored our broken relationship, our broken fellowship with God. Revelation 21:3, John heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." You see, that is the reason why God calls us into fellowship with him, so that he can be with us. The Apostle John said in 1 John 1:3, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Why should we be connected to Jesus? Because Jesus brings us into God's presence so that we can have fellowship with him. Secondly, so that we will not wither. Another reason we need to be vitally connected to Jesus is so that we will not wither and die on the inside. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. You see, the person who feeds on God's word, who is connected to Jesus, will find his soul revived, refreshed, enabling him or her to function under the most trying of circumstances in their lives. On the other hand, those who do not feed on God's word, who are not connected to Jesus, will find themselves consumed by the overwhelming stresses of life. Have you ever felt that way before? You sense that your life is dry? It's empty. It's withering away. Psalm 1 reminds us, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And all things include you and I. We are sustained by his word to us, both his written word that's given to us through Scripture, as well as his ongoing words to us, the words that the Spirit of God brings to us and reminds us what God says, both in Scripture and in our lives today. It's often whispered into our inner being, our inner soul. The Scripture is clear in saying that for us to be emotionally whole, to be strong, to be renewed, we need to continually be connected to the vine, to the one who can sustain us. That is Jesus. Why should we be connected to Jesus? So we can have fellowship with God. So we will not wither. And then thirdly, so we can have victory over temptation to sin. You know, it's nice to know what the Bible says. That when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But wouldn't it even be better if we gain victory over our habitual sins that we keep confessing day after day, month after month, and year after year? Is that even possible? James says this, but each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. See, the sinful nature in us desires sinful things. It's always tugging at us. And we give in, we'll be dragged away, giving way to sin, which will bring death. But we cannot just blame it on our sinful nature, because God has given us his Holy Spirit in which we can overcome temptations. Paul said in Galatians 5, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And Peter also says in 2 Peter, God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. When we are vitally connected to the vine, to Jesus, we're empowered by the Spirit of God living within us to escape the corruption of our world caused by our sinful nature. In my early 20s, when Deb and I were dating, I was very attracted to her at the time. I mean, I still am attracted to her. Whoops. I'm going to be in trouble. But I was really attracted to her then. I think I better stop while I'm ahead. Just go like this, guy. Just say. Anyways, being a young guy and all at the time, with lots of energy, lots of drive, there'd be times when I would get overly affectionate with her, especially when we're watching TV in her parents' basement in Winnipeg. I still remember a few times when we're kind of borderline in terms of our affection, my affection towards her as a single. The reason I remember this so well, it's because each of these times, and I'm talking really, truly, each of these times that I have maybe gone to the point where I should rethink things, the phone would ring. Okay, early 80s, no cell phones, right? These weren't phones back then. We can't just silence our phones. It was those landlines, the ones that ring on and on and on. I don't think her parents even had an answering machine, so it kept on going on and on and on. And when the phone rang, it gave us opportunity to reevaluate our situation, where we were with one another. And by the grace of God, we backed off. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Those who are connected to Jesus would have a better spiritual sensitivity to avoid sin, as the Spirit of God provides us a way out of various situations in our lives. So why should we be connected with Jesus? So we can have fellowship with God, so we will not wither, so we can have victory over temptation to sin. Fourth, so we can grow in godly character. And here, actually, I'm not going to say one word about this point. It's so important that we're devoting a whole message to this. So when Pastor Josh preaches on May 19th, the whole message will be given over why or how we can grow in godly character. So that's all I'm going to say about this today. Fifthly, so we can bear fruit in our lives. Jesus said in John 15, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If a branch remains in the vine, if it is connected to the vine, fruit really is inevitable. But if it is not connected to the vine, if we are not connected to Jesus, then fruit is impossible. No matter how hard we try, how long we work, we can't produce fruit on our own. We cannot be renewed as a church, as individuals, as a family. Jesus is very clear about this. The role of the branch is very simple: to remain and stay connected to the vine. You see, nutrients in the water flow from the soil into the roots. And from the roots, they travel into the vine. And they're carried to every branch and even to every leaf. This is the unceasing way in which the branch grows from the vine, and it'll never end. We need to stay connected to Jesus, the source of life, so that we're constantly receiving from him. Whether it's his strength, his wisdom, his peace, his rest, his renewal, or even his heart. I know an elder in our church who is being renewed by the Spirit of God as he just can't stop crying. He can't stop tearing up. Okay, let me tell you something about this person. I've known him for over 35 years. He's a self-proclaimed Vulcan. For those of you who are not Star Trek fans, a Vulcan in the Star Trek world is one in which they're intelligent, they're scientific, but they're not very emotional. Let's just say their EQ is not very great. And nonetheless, this person who's being transformed by the Spirit of God, the reason I believe that he's crying and tearing up all the time is because the Spirit of God is showing him Jesus' heart for things, for people, for his family maybe. The things that Spirit of God, through Jesus, wants to show to him about our church. I believe he's gaining Christ's heart for our church and for the people around him. Let me show you something I tried to experiment on. Some of you may have seen this before. I had taken two pots. And in one pot, I was growing a plant. It was a plant, healthy plant, plant with vine and branches. And then I took another pot that was empty and I put soil in it. And from this other pot, I cut off some branches from this plant and I just stuck these branches into the soil as is. And so after the first day, this is how it looked like. The one on the right is the one with the vine and the branches. The one on the left is just the branches by themselves. And after the second day, this is what things look like. After the fourth day, this is how things look like. The sixth day, the eighth day, the tenth day, the twelfth day. And by the 14th day, it was literally dead. Disappeared from my office somehow. Someone must have thrown it out. This is a vivid picture to me of what our spiritual lives look like if we're disconnected from the vine. Now that we've seen why we should be connected to Jesus, the next question really is how? How should we be connected to Jesus? And may I just offer us a few ways today? There are probably much more. First, throughout the day. You know, we live in a world that's always pulling us away from this. Our lives are so busy that we just don't have time. Do you feel the same way? It's the scheme of the enemy to get us so busy such that he keeps us from really living fruitful lives. He's convinced us that the busier we are, the more important we are. Now, some people may think that to be connected to Jesus means having continuous Bible studies, being silent before him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so they feel that they could never do this. We'll have to wait until we finish school. We'll have to wait until we get less busy at work. We'll have to wait until our children are all grown up. We may have to even wait until retirement. But to remain and stay connected to Jesus simply means to consciously walk and to live with him throughout the day so that we are aware of his presence with us. And as we get into situations where we need his wisdom, his guidance, his leading, we ask him for it. We pull away even for a few moments of the day. We connect and we reconnect with Jesus throughout the day to listen to the Spirit's promptings. Or We pour out our hearts and soul in praise and worship of God because he's just answered a prayer of ours. You remember me talking about the new venture in Montreal a month ago? And I asked you to pray during that time, to pray that Pastor Joseph would be able to see his family and bring them over to Canada. I got a text on Tuesday morning from Pastor Joseph that he now has and has been given permanent residency as a permanent resident in Canada. Soon, his family, his children will come over to Canada very soon, maybe even within the next month or two, to be with him. And then he'll be able to move over to Montreal and begin the new venture that the Lord is leading us, him, and our various districts on. When I got that text from him, I just stopped what I was doing. I just dropped everything I was doing. And I just took a few moments just to praise God. Thank him for answering our prayers. Because that's what you prayed. That's what we prayed. When we take moments of our day to connect with Jesus, his life will flow into ours. It'll flow through us. And though not everyone will see it, it will change the way that you speak. It will change the way that you see things. It will change the way that you think. It will change the ways that you treat people. As God's fruit is being born into you. To remain in Christ is to consciously choose to live in his presence and choosing to go about the activities of our day without ever leaving his presence. How should we be connected to Jesus? First, throughout the day. Next, through a weekly Sabbath. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We live in such a frantic world that these words of Christ help us to focus our eyes and our attention back to him. Jesus is inviting us into his rest. "Take my yoke upon you," he says, "and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls." We need to accept Christ's invitation to rest and to rejoice in him. We need to stop and to see the beauty of his creation. We need to observe the loveliness in our loved ones. We need to treasure our friendships. We need to remember that his provision and goodness in our lives is a blessing from him. And so in the evening when we put away the things that we were working on and we rest, we note that he has truly blessed us. And we need to give thanks for each day, but especially to be conscious to take a day of rest each week as God did at the time of creation. It teaches us that nothing that we can do can ever earn God's love. Because when we're working hard, when we're using our gifts to serve others, when we're experiencing joy in our work along with toil sometimes, we're always in the danger of believing that our actions merit God's love. And it's only in stopping do we teach our hearts and our souls that we are loved apart from what we do. And so we need to rest and rejoice in what we have. and to recognize and receive God's grace into our lives. But what should take place during a weekly Sabbath, you may ask? Well, I believe that there are generally two guiding principles for us: physical rest and spiritual rest. In physical rest, do something that's enjoyable, that's refreshing to you. When I used to live in North Van, I'd often go to Lonsdale Quay by myself on my day off, just to have breakfast or lunch at the quay, sitting outside in the sun and enjoying the view of the beautiful city, the cityscape of Vancouver beyond the waters. Or, I had to throw this in, I'm sorry, okay? Or I would go fishing and enjoy the wonders of being in God's creation and reflect on His glory. Did you know that fishing is a very spiritual activity in the Bible? I tell my wife that all the time when I go fishing. Honey, did you know that fishing is something that God wants us to do? But I got to make sure I bring fish home or else I'm in trouble. The reason this fish is so large is because I put it out like this when I take the picture, okay? Look how large my hands are. Anyways, whatever it is, it should refresh our body, it should restore our mind, and it should renew our soul. That's the Sabbath rest that God wants us to have. In spiritual rest, we spend time before the Lord. We connect with Jesus by soaking in His presence unhurried. To be in His holy presence with a quiet inward attentiveness to Him, a quiet listening alertness to His gentle whisper, as we've been learning in the Hearing God exercises. And may I offer one further opportunity for us as to how we can, or what we can do, is through an annual retreat, an annual spiritual retreat. This is a dedicated time to read, to study, to hear from God, to spend time with Jesus alone, to hear Him, and He will speak to you. And He'll begin to direct you in the changes that may be needed in your life, whether it be your personal life, your family life, or even your church life. Now, I do want to say that I have yet to really implement this in my life, to set aside an annual time for this. But I do want to share with you that during my sabbatical that I took at the end of 2017, I truly sensed the Lord speaking to me. I felt His heart for me, for my family, for our church. And He was saying that in order for Phraselands to change, in order for Phraselands to remain, to really make a difference in the lives of people that attend it, to make a difference in the lives of our community, our city, our country, and even our world, in order for Phraselands to be renewed, I felt God saying to me, I need to be renewed. You need to be renewed. Because church renewal starts with our own personal renewal. And we begin our journey of personal renewal by connecting with Jesus, by connecting with the true vine of life, so that His life begins to flow into us and through us to others. Jesus said, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.